Carol Marks here at A Touch of Gray, and we have the pleasure and honor now of talking to Attorney Max Richmond, who is the President and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, and welcome to A Touch of Gray.
Thank you for inviting me to the program.
You know, it's such an important organization that you are heading up. I've long admired it, the policies that you have, you know, approved of and battled for are so important, because we've talked a lot about affordable health care. We haven't talked about too much in the way of Social Security, which, you know, really hasn't been talked about, but I think that there are people that would like to see things changed with it, and I don't think it needs any changes, certainly for the moment. What do you think?
Well, you're right. There's no urgency, no crisis, no cause to transform the program dramatically in a way that reduces benefits. But there are folks who are determined to do just that, and they have been pretty successful in the last few years in creating an environment that will lend itself to those kinds of changes. And our challenge is to bring some clarity to this discussion and talk about what is reality with Social Security.
Well, let's do that right now.
All right.
Okay. What's the reality?
The reality is that the program is not bankrupt. It's not in any kind of a crisis. The program has a reserve of $2.7 trillion put into place by design in the early 80s to be there when a large influx of baby boomers enters retirement, which is happening right now. And this reserve was built in a compromise that was reached between President Reagan and Speaker O'Neill back in 1983. The trustees, not Max Richmond, but the trustees of Social Security, which are members of the cabinet and private citizens, issue a report every spring, and they predict the solvency of the program, which means up to what point can the program pay all of its bills, pay full benefits to all eligible beneficiaries. And last spring, the date was 2034, which means with no change at all in any way, shape, or form, the program is sound for 22 years. And then, with no change, it can only meet about 77-78% of its requirements for another 30 or 40 years. So that's the gap. That's what needs to be dealt with.
But it's not a rush to change.
Well, it's certainly what I was saying in the meetings I had, including meetings with the president in the White House, when the last fiscal cliff debt came to a head, I was saying, yes, we need to make some adjustments over a long period of time in a gradual way, but we do not have to make them in the next couple of weeks.
You are so right. Yeah. What about diffusing the whole argument by saying, well, let's talk about something that's really important, immediate right now. Let's take Social Security and put it in a lockbox where people can't just take money, you know, and use it for whatever they want for the government.
Yeah. What, you know, one of the things that I think is really important is that we look at the way the program is funded so that we bring some more revenue into the program. And, well, you know that right now there's a limit on the amount of payroll tax, the amount of wages subject to the
right.
payroll tax. And it goes up a little bit every year. It's about $113,700 now for 2013. A lot of people don't even know there is this cap because, and I've done hundreds of town hall meetings, and it's very obvious to me that many, many people don't realize that because they've never gotten close to whatever the cap is. They just assume you pay payroll tax on your wages. But that's not the case. So, you know, someone making $113,000 a year, lucky enough to make that kind of money, is paying the same Social Security as a CEO of a major Fortune 500 company that's making $113 million, paying the same amount because it's capped. So I think there's some very strong arguments to be made for bringing some fairness and progressivity into the program. And maybe those people that would pay more because their incomes are so much higher. Maybe their benefits should be adjusted to be a little more to bring.
And that's certainly fair.
That's certainly fair. But what is not fair is to tell people that are just getting by on Social Security. The average benefit is, I think, $13,000 or $14,000 a year. Not a lot of money.
Who can live on that, really?
Yeah, well,
and
it's very...
A lot of people have to live on it.
Absolutely. Rent, utilities, gasoline, out-of-pocket health care costs. Medicare is a great program, but it doesn't cover vision care. It doesn't cover dental care. It doesn't cover... hearing aids, hearing aid batteries. You know how expensive all that stuff is. That comes out of your pocket. And if you don't have access to that kind of medical care, health care, you're going to suffer in terms of safety, nutrition, mental acuity. You're going to suffer. So there are a lot of out-of-pocket costs. And rather than keep asking seniors on Social Security to get less in benefits, less in their cost of living adjustment. Let's have people that have had a better time of raising money, making money, pay a little more.
Well, I'm going to have you come back on Touch of Gray because I wanted to talk about Medicare. But since we're here, we're talking about something that's very promising and taking a baby step in with the Affordable Care Act. I want to ask you what you think is the best thing about it.
About the Affordable Care Act?
Yes.
I thought about a very simple way to explain it, since there was so much confusion during this campaign and the last one about the Affordable Care Act. Under the Affordable Care Act, if you're on Medicare, you get more and you pay less.
Wow, I love that. Why can't all our politicians talk that way? Simply, we would all understand them. We would all be happier. Well, as I say, the Committee to Preserve Social Security Medicare is one of my very favorite organizations. You do a terrific job. I look forward to having you come back and talk about some of the other issues that involve Medicare that will be coming up and that are being attacked. And so it's been a pleasure, and I want to thank you. It's been awfully nice to meet you in person.
Thank you so much. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.